I'm Avner Vengosh from Duke University. I'm professor of geochemistry and water quality.
Okay, great. And now, first of all, are you familiar with the report that I'm mentioning, Catawba Riverkeeper, looking at Duke Energy's plants and finding radium in them?
So I'm not sure I've seen that report.
Mm-hmm.
However, I've seen some of the data, the raw data, with indeed the elevated radium concentration in groundwater that were part of this data set revealed with the Duke Energy data from the wells.
Okay, that's great. Because I know that they were looking at data that Duke Energy itself came up with. So they were finding
right.
that there were 11 out of 18 plants that had higher than usual radiation, I guess. And in the Asheville plant, it was 38 times higher, and it was the highest level. So my first question for you, I'm not sure if you can answer it, but why would the Asheville plant be the highest? Do you know?
Again, I haven't studied that, and so I'm kind of, it's more theoretical. Usually we like to report data that we analyze so we feel confidence and can talk about mechanisms and so on. So here I can think about two possibilities. One is that they use perhaps a different type of coal ash that will be more enriched in uranium and radium that led to mobilization or leaching out of radionuclides into the groundwater. And we do see, it's important to note that many of the wells that found next to the coal ash pond have what we call the geochemical tracer, like having very high boron concentration, for example, that indicate that indeed they were affected by coal ash contamination. I think that's really the number one point to mention, that we see evidence for coal ash contamination in this water. So that's really important to understand that this kind of water were groundwater being affected by coal ash and not other source. So the reason why you would have high radium, it could be, which was surprising because it hasn't been revealed before, and that's also important to emphasize, that either those coal ash that used had specifically elevated radium or have specifically conditioned that enable mobilization of the radium. Probably Duke Energy would argue that perhaps the high radium is because of the type of the rocks in the area that affect the groundwater. Now, I have not seen that elevated level in natural occurring setting in North Carolina. We have measured radium, naturally occurring radium, in some cases exceeding the drinking water regulation. And we published a study about the occurrence of radium outside of Riley a couple of years ago in drinking water well. But the level of radium we found was not similar to what was just now revealed in those wells, much, much lower.
I see.
So the intriguing question, why there's so much high radium and if it's not coming from the coal ash?
Okay. And now they're looking at, of course, groundwater contamination right around the plant. And so Duke Energy, I spoke to a spokesman for them, and they said, you know, this is not drinking water that we're talking about. This is water that's right around the plant where they would have expected to see some higher levels of radiation. So is that true?
Really? I mean, that's surprising, because if Duke Energy is saying they expect to see water contamination from coal ash with high radiation, that's a big story. I would put it in the highlight. I mean, I'm sorry to be cynical, but usually they don't admit that. We published a study on the occurrence of radium in coal ash throughout the United States. They dismiss it and say, oh, it's not really high level.
Oh, wow. Well, so, interesting. Because, yeah, a spokeswoman talking to me said very specifically that when I asked her why the elevated levels in Asheville, she said, well, we know that radium can be naturally occurring, so it's up to the scientists to kind of determine that. And it can also occur from coal ash. So she said specifically that it could actually come from coal ash. So you're saying that's a huge deal.
I think so. Yeah.
Wow.
So.
Interesting. Okay. Okay. Now, and you've looked at, I know that you've done a study because I spoke to you before about fracking, and you had looked at different wells around to see whether or not fracking chemicals were getting into the water wells. And so I guess the a bigger question here with this is, if we're talking about groundwater around the plants, should people be concerned that this is somehow getting into drinking water? I know that's what people are worried about.
Right. So the spoke lady, she is correct in the sense that right now, the contaminated groundwater was found in areas underlying or really adjacent to the coal ash pond. But it's meaning that they already reached into the aquifer. And now the question is, how did they flow from here? Because they're not going to stay there. They're going to continue to flow. It's not a closed system. It's an open system. And where people living next to coal ash pond, there is a potential of this contaminated groundwater to flow towards drinking water well. So, and that is the risk that what is now contained or limited to the coal ash pond could further migrate it into drinking water wells. So I don't think we should be, you know, indifferent or relaxed about this possibility, particularly if you live next to it. It's true, if you don't have indication of arrival of contaminant in your drinking water well, you don't have the risk right now, but tomorrow it can change. So we have now a potential of groundwater flow. It could take decades, it could take years, it could take be tomorrow when those contaminated groundwater would arrive into drinking water wells that are located downstream from the current location of the contaminated water. And I think it's important to emphasize that when you talk about risk from coal ash, there's different way to envision that. The first is, one would say, one has to be to prove that coal ash ponds would leak at all and would reach to the underlying groundwater. This is the first kind of risk that one could ask. And the second, once they reach the groundwater, how do they reach or further flow towards the drinking water well? So for the first part, we now know that it has arrived. The contaminants have arrived. It's not a question anymore. And we published a study a year and a half ago that we demonstrated about dozens of sites, 20 sites across the Southeast United States, where we use much more elaborate tracer and geochemical tools to demonstrate that all coal ash ponds are leaking. So we have a very strong evidence, which is consistent with the data that just being revealed, that all the coal ash ponds are leaking into the underlying groundwater. So the first kind of risk, we know it's happening, so there's no question, and it seems that Duke Energy also acknowledged that fact. The next kind of risk, how those shallow groundwater underlying the coal ash ponds would migrate towards the drinking water well. And I think every case will have different answer. It depends on the hydrogeology. It depends on the distance, on the hydrological gradient, how fast the water will flow through the system.
But you can say specifically that this Asheville plant and the coal ash basin is leaking, because you said all of them are?
Well, from our data, every place we analyze, and that including all sites in North Carolina and several sites others in Tennessee and across the southeastern United States, all of them are leaking, absolutely.
Okay. Okay. So we know that there is radium at a high level in the groundwater. We know that the groundwater is leaking. We just don't know quite how much.
So we have leaking of contaminated water from the coal ash pond into the groundwater, which is the aquifer system. We know that now, and the question is, what is the aerial distribution of those contaminated water? How far they go behind the vicinity of the coal ash pond?
And I know as a
and
sign,
that's a question that we don't know, because there's no any monitoring a little bit away from the coal ash pond.
And how dangerous would that water be? I know that's a difficult question for a scientist to answer because you want to be so precise, but there's reason for concern, I take it.
Well, I mean, we don't need to invent the wheel. For example, radium that we are focusing now, the U.S. EPA has established a very specific standard, drinking water standard. It's called maximum contaminant level, MCL, which is 5 picocurie per liter. So, and this is based on a really intensive epidemiology and experimental data that's showing that drinking more than that level over a lifetime of a person will certainly induce human health risk. And there were several case studies, like in New Jersey, that people who consumed such water without knowing that had a much higher percentage of cancer. So there's no question in terms of the scientific community whether exposure to such drinking water well would induce high human health risk. The question is how those contaminated water, when and how they will arrive to those drinking water well. Once it's arrived, the risk is very well established. We don't need to look for the risk because we know that consuming such a high level of radium will definitely have human health effect.
Okay. I think those are my questions. Is there anything you think I'm missing about this story?
No, I think you actually, it's interesting because until now, Duke Energy were reluctant to address that there is radiation potential in coal ash. We published a paper, as I mentioned, and if you send me email, I can send you back the paper that we show that coal ash in United States has radioactivity and radium that is higher than normal soil. It's not very high, so it's not like radioactive material. But we argue that because of this relatively higher radium, there's slightly more risk in terms of if you inhale the coal ash particle, which is a very tiny particle, and if you're living downwind from a coal ash, you know, landfills, when you could be exposed to that, that could be another factor in human health. The new data that are now emerging suggests that this radium can be also leachable from the coal ash into the ground, into contaminated groundwater. So it's kind of complement what we have known earlier about the radium. But now Duke Energy kind of admits that radium radiation is part of the package, so to speak, of contaminants associated with coal ash, and they've never admitted before. So I think it's that's a big deal.
Wow.
That they're actually saying, yes, we are now aware that this could be a problem. Now, they say it's only restricted to the coal ash area. I said, sure, but we don't know what's happened behind it because there's no any monitoring behind the coal ash pond. So to say it's not a risk, I would disagree with that because they need to have the proof to show that this contaminated groundwater has not migrated further from the coal ash pond area towards the drinking water well.
Okay.
And this has not been conducted.
Okay, that's not been conducted. Okay.
No. So there's not any monitoring to show, unless there is, and I'm not aware of it, anyway, it hasn't been published, any information about what's happened between drinking water wells and the coal ash pond.
Right, and you yourself have found that they leak.
Well, we know that the groundwater underlying are leaking, and that's the new data revealed that.
Mm-hmm.
The question is what's happened further downstream away from the coal ash towards the drinking water well.
I see. Okay.
It could be half a mile, a mile, but what's happened behind the area, the vicinity of the coal ash pond.
Right.
And that's a big question mark, that the information is not there.
And forgive my naivete on this, but it seems like, wouldn't that be an easy thing to test? I mean, aren't we just, you know, talking about turning on the faucet and testing?
I mean, it's not that much money. It's to install what really need now, I think after what we are finding now, it's not only, it's kind of pretty consistent that's having those contaminated water, what is really needed now, and I think the state should step into it, to build a network of piezometers surrounding the coal ash pond between the drinking water wells and the coal ash pond, and to have alarm system to show if the groundwater are flowing towards the drinking water wells, and to have kind of protection for residents who are living there to make sure that if it is flowing, we'll be able to monitor it before it's arriving.
Okay. And now Duke Energy says correctly that they're shutting down that plant. They're replacing it with natural gas, which they're doing all over the state, I know, and all over the country. Is that sufficient that they're actually shutting down these coal plants?
Well, no, because the problem, it's meaning that future, we're not going to have continuously leaching of coal ash and generating contaminated water that flowing, that infiltrating into the aquifer. But the problem has already created, the beast has been arrived, so to speak, into the groundwater system. So even if you stop doing anything on the surface, you have already created a problem that now it's spreading, could spread down stream and start to continue. So it's good that there is no continuation of this contamination process, but there is, but the problem that it's already generate contaminated water that has already exist, and how, what is the volume of this contaminated water is unknown, and how this contaminated water would migrate towards the drinking water well.
And if water is contaminated, does it stay contaminated? I mean, does it dissipate over time? What happens
no.
with that? No.
It's the decay of radium is, it's the half-life of radium-226 is over 5,000 years. It's forever. There's no, it's inorganic constituents, so they're not biodegradable. So they're most likely not going to be retained or remediated by natural attenuation processes.
Okay, that answers my question. Dr. Vingash, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
No problem.